So if you could all open up to 1 Samuel chapter 16, just to introduce it. 1 Samuel chapter 16, it's just before 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So I'm going to talk today about authority. Authority, if someone has authority, that authority comes from someone else. So Samuel was a prophet of God. God sent Samuel to anoint a king. And before this instance, they went through the whole family of David. But God didn't choose any of those. And they asked for the youngest, who was out keeping the sheep. He was out in the paddock looking after the sheep, because that was the person God chose. And God used Samuel as a vessel to anoint David as king. So David had received this authority to be the king over Israel, but it didn't come from him. It came from someone else. And that's the importance, the important thing of authority. It comes from somewhere else. And at the time, I imagine David was out in the paddock, and he was probably oblivious to what on earth was going on. You know, the rest of the family was just gathering around Samuel, but he was oblivious of this thing, of God choosing him to do something. Although I was just thinking about this morning, sometimes I think people have an inkling that something's going to happen. I remember Pastor Tim saying Winston Churchill always, as a child, knew that there was some grand thing that he'd be doing for England. But so maybe David had a little inkling when he was out there with the sheep that something big was going to come up. But generally, we just assume that he was oblivious. This idea of authority has been floating in my mind a little bit, because at my current work, just to put into perspective, I started there as a minion, really, as nobody. I reported to a team leader who reported to a manager who reported to the director. And I remember I'd see the director walking around. He didn't really know who I was. I'd talk to people. I was really a nobody. But then over time, I was asked to work on this project. And I was struggling a fair bit, the workload, and I had to report to the director. And I was sitting in the director's office, and he could obviously see that I wasn't coping very well. But anyway, I headed off. Half an hour later, he calls me back into the office, and he says to me, "If anybody needs your help, just ask them, and because I want this project to succeed," and because he needed a job to be done. And in order for me to get that job done, I needed authority. And so he told me, anybody in the organisation, if I ask them to work on this project, that they will do that as a priority. And he even said, if you need help from me, just ask me, and I will prioritise this, because his bigger aim was this project needed to be done. And it was quite a change. I'd make phone calls, I'd get answers. And is she okay? She had no authority to do that. And after that, the team leaders, the managers, they were all happy to help, because from that point forward, I had authority. But that authority was granted unto me from somewhere else. It was nothing to do with me. I was still the same person that started in this organisation, but there was that authority. And even I had a young bloke working with me, and he was struggling because there were other people asking him to do things, and I was asking him to work, and he told me, and so then straight away I went to all his bosses and said, "Nah, he needs to work on this," and they're all fine. Yep, no problem, no arguments whatsoever, because there was that authority. But that authority came from the director; it didn't come from me. And when I was had this idea of authority and preparing a talk for it, I was kind of struggling with scriptures. But then when I sat down yesterday, which so often happens, just so many scriptures on authority in the Bible. And I was sitting there this morning putting it together, and I had to put lines through all these scriptures. I go, oh, they're such good scriptures, but I don't have enough time to bring it all out. We probably have to cancel the second meeting if I brought all the scriptures out. But there's so much in the scriptures about authority and as an example. So we'll just carry on with David's side of things. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name, Nathan called Solomon's name, Jedidiah, because of the Lord, which means beloved of the Lord. So David had a son called Solomon, and this son is the one that the Lord loved. It doesn't say anywhere else that he loved the other sons of David, but he loved Solomon. So he was chosen by God, even as a baby. So just turn up to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. This is getting into the story of Solomon. Nearly. So 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Down to verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. So Adonijah was another son of David, but he decided, nope, I want to be king, disregarding the fact that the Lord had chosen Solomon. And just over to verse 28. Then King David answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day." And down to verse 39. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "God save the king Solomon." And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar?" And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, "Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings." And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "Verily, our lord King David hath made Solomon king. And the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye have heard. And also Solomon sitteth upon the throne of the kingdom." And verse 49, "And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way." So the authority that came from God through David and then Zadok the priest to anoint in the same way David was anointed was to anoint Solomon the king. But this Adonijah bloke, he didn't belong there. He had no authority to do what he was doing. And what happened? It was a failure. Absolutely. He raised himself up to be a king. Whereas when the true king, Solomon, the one that had the true authority, came in, what was the reaction? Verse 49, and all the guests, all those mates of Adonijah were afraid and rose up, scattered, went everywhere. Because they realized they weren't following the man that had authority. And they realized that the true king, King Solomon, was the one who had authority. That what he said happened. He had the backing of the previous king, of God himself. And it didn't come from Solomon himself, because even, as I read before, he was chosen as a baby. And he hadn't proven himself at all, his ability in any way. But he was chosen, his authority. He had that authority. So turn to John chapter 5. A little bit of reading here. It's Jesus' words himself. John chapter 5. And verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So there you go, even Jesus himself, the Son, it says he can't do anything of his own, of himself, because as he hears of the Lord, he then judges accordingly. The words he speaks are the words that come from God himself. And he doesn't seek his own will. He seeks the will of the Father which sent him. He seeks the will of the Father who gave him authority. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So that with the story of Adonijah, he bare witness of himself. He exalted himself as having authority, but it was not true. And likewise, Jesus does not bear witness of himself, because then it will be not true. Verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. So likewise, if I went ahead blazoning abroad in my workplace, pretending like I had authority, jumping up and down, trying to get things done and arguing and so forth, people would not listen to me. In fact, they would scorn me. But because I had the backing of the director, which wasn't of myself, he bare witness of what I was required to do. Verse 33, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. So the Father, God himself, has sent Jesus to do a job, to bear witness and to be that light. And it says there, to do the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do. So he had a commission. He had authority to do these works that God wanted him to do. And when he was on the cross before he died, he said, it's finished. He knew that he'd finished the work that his Father had asked him to do. But before that, he had this authority, as it says at the start, that and has given him authority to execute judgment, the word that proceeded out of his mouth. Elsewhere in John, it said, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me. It's the Father's will that sent Jesus. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So Jesus spoke, it was not his own words, it was the Father's. And he was just a vessel that carried that authority. And that authority came from God. John chapter 8 and verse 54. Jesus answered, if I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. So again, acknowledging that honour of himself is nothing, absolutely nothing, but his Father honours him. And it says elsewhere in John, Jesus says, "I receive not honor from men." So he didn't receive the honor from men. Other people didn't exalt him as being great. He received the honor direct from God. Chapter 12 and verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." So those that believed in Jesus didn't actually believe in Jesus himself, but believed in God who sent him. "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken." So that word that Jesus speaks, which is God's word, is what judges people. "The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." And us, we are vessels. We just speak what God tells us to speak. That's all we do. That is what judges, is what we speak. And it is those words that come from the Scriptures. And in Matthew 7, it says they marveled when Jesus was teaching in the temple. They marveled because he spoke with authority. They recognized that he knew what he was talking about. And Jesus was confident because he knew he was speaking the words of his Father. And others could see that confidence and determination to continue to speak what God wanted. And they saw that he spoke with authority. And as I said in the introduction, we stand on a rock. It's immovable. So we have that confidence. As I read last week, we become pillars founded firmly on that rock. And we're confident of what we say because we've got answers. Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." So we hear of many people postulating of when the end of the world may be, when Jesus may return. It's happened throughout the ages, but it says here clearly, no man knows, not even the angels which are in heaven that dwell in God's presence. And it even says not even the Son. The only one who knows when the end of the world will be is the Father himself. Verse 33, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." So what it says here, it's like this time is like the Son of Man, being Jesus, has gone on and taken a long journey, and he has given authority unto his servants. And who is his servants? We are his servants. He has given authority unto us. So God gave authority unto Jesus, and then Jesus, after he passed and rose again, he gave authority unto us. So we are his servants who have authority. We have this authority, and we've been commanded to watch, to go about his business, to do his work as faithful servants, because we don't know when he's going to come back. We have no idea. And so we just continue to stay focused on him with that authority. And because we don't want to be found sleeping, well, we want to watch always so that we continue to walk in spirit and in truth. And it says, Luke 2, it says, this is Jesus speaking to his parents, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" So they wondered why he spent so long in the temple and why he did these things. He said, well, I've got to be about my Father's business. And it's like us also, we have to be about our Father's business. We've got words to speak. We've got this authority. Whether we liked it or not, we've got this authority. And, well, frankly, I'm pretty glad that we've got this authority, that we're part of this great plan and that we've got things to say, that we know what we've got to say. But we be about his business. That's why we come to meetings. That's why we do what we do. People may ask, why do you do that? Well, Father's business. You know, that's what we've got to do. We just love doing it. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we go about our Father's business. He's got stuff to do. But as I read there, he's given us tools. He's given us this armour, this spiritual armour. And he went through the items there that are so important to help us to do his work, to have these tools. And it says elsewhere that to study and show yourself approved, that you're a workman that can use those tools with adroitness. And so he's given us these tools. We study and to find out what the Lord wants of us. But then it goes on. It goes on with these tools, praying always, with all prayer and supplication, that we may speak and open our mouth boldly. You know, that's the word of the truth, that sword that divides asunder. And then it says, for I am an ambassador in bonds. We are ambassadors. We're likened to ambassadors. And for us to speak boldly, we are that ambassador with authority. So it's like an ambassador that is sent from a country, sent by the ruler of that country. They have authority granted onto them by that ruler. And what they speak is what the ruler wants them to say. So we are ambassadors. We go about his work to speak boldly these things. And in 2 Corinthians 5, it says plainly that we are ambassadors of Christ. Proverbs 13 says a faithful ambassador is health. So we want to be faithful ambassadors of God to proclaim these things because it's health. It's a good thing. So we'll look at some words of Jesus again. John chapter 3. So Jesus had authority imparted unto him from God. We have authority imparted unto us from Jesus. So we'll look at what Jesus himself says. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that's Jesus' words himself, God's words. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So these are Jesus' own words that we're not making it up. As I said, we're just a vessel. And what comes out of our mouth, we want that to be God's word. And God's word says that except you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we're not making it up. It's what it says. Maybe harsh to hear, but it's the fact. It's the way it is. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. As we heard in testimony, being born again of the water is being baptized by full immersion. But then of the Spirit, we need God's Holy Spirit. It says elsewhere that God is a spirit and he seeks those who worship him in the spirit and in truth. So as I've said before, God is a spirit. We need the spirit in order to be one with him. We can talk amongst ourselves because we understand we are like for like, flesh. And we can talk each other's language. But when we've got the spirit, we can speak God's language. And God's language is miraculous. We speak in tongues. That's the sign that we have the Holy Spirit. And just to prove that, more of Jesus' words, Mark chapter 16. So these are important things that a lot of groups neglect, that carry the Bible, claim to reflect what the Bible represents. But these are words that are in the pages that clearly say these things. Mark chapter 16, and more of Jesus' words. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our commission. He's given us authority. 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Quite simply said, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So there are signs that follow those who believe. It's not an airy-fairy belief thing. You believe, you follow God's word. You read God's word, you do it. It's his commandments. But then the wonderful thing is God has given signs, tangible signs that follow those who believe. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. You can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, as we heard in testimony. So that happens today. It happens today because that is a sign that follows those who believe. And he protects us as well because he wants us to be here to do his work. He's got work for us to do. Okay, John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 14. Jesus again speaking, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So if you follow Jesus' commandments, which are God's commandments, we are his friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. They will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So Jesus just plainly says there that if they rejected him, they'll reject us also, because we are following his commandments. And sometimes with authority comes duties that we don't really want to do, as I've discovered. You know, yep, okay, I've got this authority at work, but there's stuff I've got to do that I don't really like doing. But I have to. It's part of my duty. And so we go about, we say things, we do the work of the Lord. Sometimes we might feel uncomfortable doing it. We might get reactions from people as well that aren't good and makes us feel bad. But we remember that they rejected Jesus. So if they rejected Jesus or despised Jesus, they'll also reject or despise us. But it's him that they've rejected. And it says in Luke 10, "He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." So we've got this chain of things where God gave Jesus authority, who then gave us authority to speak. And so when people react to what we say, whether it's good or bad, they are reacting to what Jesus said and therefore reacting to what God said. It's this circular thing and we're in amongst it. And that's where we stand. We have that authority. We'll go finish up in Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." So they ran away. "And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east. Even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Just jump down to verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" So there's that. Go in this thy might. And so we have that authority. Have not I sent thee? So let's go in this our might and go forward. In fact, on Friday, my boss, there was this other thing going on, and we had this conference call with people in Perth, and in that call, my boss actually articulated clearly, "I have given Philip authority to do that." And so then those in Perth would take heed. But then later in the day, when I was supposed to put my foot down, I kind of shrunk away. I didn't go forth in my might. So sometimes there can be a bit of a lag, you know, like, oh, this authority, we're not used to it. We're not used to this authority. And there can be that lag as we try to realise what it's all about, because it hasn't quite sunk in. So as a result of slipping up Friday afternoon, I've got to kind of make up for it Monday morning, make a quick phone call tomorrow morning and just express what I was meant to express. So yes, we are people. We have this authority. We speak God's word and we go in this thy might. Remember that we have that. And fine, a lag here or we're distracted or whatever, but remember to make it sink in, you know, that we have that. And we have that authority because God answers prayer. You know, over time, we have evidence that we can draw unto. You know, it's not a fluffy idea. We've got this thing that is locked away in the back of our mind that it's true. You know, and it all started, we're born again as a babe, a spiritual babe, as I said last week, born again of water and the Spirit. And then over time, we see the Lord, we grow in the things of the Lord, and we see answers, answers to prayer. And these answers are what locks us in our mind. Ah, that's right, God did that. And God did that. And we hear other people's testimonies. That's right, in that person's life, this happened. You know, yeah, and so we can go forth in our might with confidence that what we say is God's word and not our own. Okay, thank you.